Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm joined by the Reverend Elmer Harris. He's the pastor emeritus of Second Baptist Church in Joliet and serves as a chaplain for the Bolingbrook Police Department. Pastor, you're also involved in several ministries. You feed needy people.
Yes, we do.
Tell me about that.
We have a blessing table. That blessing table started back in 1984. We saw that there was a need. People were hungry. And it has since trickled into, when COVID came, there was a thing where they thought that everybody was just going to stop. Well, people don't stop being hungry. We started back up our blessing table back in June of 2020, and we figured out how to do it safely. We had people to pull up in their cars, and we just load their cars full of boxes and different things of that nature, and we just continue to do it. And now we do it on such a huge scale. We're feeding anywhere from, normally on a regular Thursday, anywhere from 100 to 200 families. And I mean, and you see folks coming from all over, not just from the Joliet area. You see people coming in from Indiana. We've had people coming in from Palatine. And one thing
Who are these people?
People that are in need. People that are hungry.
Yeah. Blacks, whites, Hispanics?
You name it. I say God has a beautiful garden bouquet. And that's what we serve. We serve a beautiful garden bouquet of all nationalities and all colors. So, and that's what makes it so beautiful. It's not just feeding one sector or one race. We feed everybody.
Are some of these people new to being needy?
Some of them are. And I mean, you can tell some of them. I mean, when you got a guy pull up and he's got a BMW, and he's got a Mercedes, he's got a Jaguar, but hey, he needs food. But he comes to us, we don't care where you come from. If you're hungry, we're going to fulfill the need.
Yeah, and they've got the fancy cars, but maybe they purchased those vehicles
before
they lost their job.
And the fancy cars don't matter to us. What matters to us is the individual, the families, because, again, there's a need. If it wasn't a need, they wouldn't come that far for food. When they pick up food from us on Thursday, we try to give them enough food to last to the next Thursday.
Has your food ministry had to grow over the last 3.5 years with this high inflation?
Our food ministry had to not only grow over the 3.5 years because of high inflation, but our food ministry had to grow because back in 2000, the government was throwing money at people. And so, if you got 10 kids or whatever, you get X amount of dollars for these kids. So automatically, people didn't see the need that they really needed a food pantry. And so as the government then took this money away that they were depending on, automatically, guess what happened? Now the people find out, oh, wait a minute, we need the food pantry. And I think that in itself helped to make the food pantry more important. And then not only that, then you also had a lot of food pantries that shut down because they could not be subsidized. Meaning we at our food pantry, we spend a lot of money on food. It's not only food that we get from all of the various stores, we have our own trucks. So instead of the Illinois Food Bank bringing us or providing us with food, they don't. We go around and we get this food ourselves, and what we can't get, we buy.
I think there's a lot of folks who believe, related to need, and maybe things will get better with a new administration come January, but it's not going to happen automatically.
Not only that, as far as that happening, no. I mean, it would be great, but that's not going to happen. I don't care what administration is in that office. It's not going to happen that way. We still have homeless people. We still have people that's going to have that need. We still got people that are jobless. We got people that had high-paying jobs that have been reduced down to low-paying jobs. So those people have got enough sense, at least I see they do, that they come to the blessing table so they can stretch the little money they have so that they can pay their bills. Some of them are on the verge of losing their house. you know, you got this house that costs $900,000. You had a great job. You could afford a $900,000 job. I mean, $900,000 house. Well, guess what? Now you lost that $900,000 job. Now you got a $45,000 job. How do you keep that $900,000 house?
Well, I wouldn't know. Because that's a little bit beyond my pay grade. Okay. Let me ask you, what kind of spiritual food are you providing these folks?
Oh, the best. You know, you hear people talk about soul food, right?
Right.
Well, I explain to people, soul food is the word from the Lord. It's what feeds your soul. What we give them in those boxes is called belly food. It goes into the belly and out through the drought, okay? But soul food is that's going to keep you motivated. It's going to keep you striving. It's going to let you know that there is a better way, there's a better day, that I serve the true and Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And I do that with all the people. When they come through that line, some of them say, well, Pastor, will you pray with me? I love to pray. I mean, and we pray right now. I've been inside a Walmart. I've had a guy that walk up to me and say, man, I really need prayer. Let's pray. I've been in the bank and prayed for the simple reason, where should I pray at? I pray wherever you ask me or tell me you need prayer. For the simple reason, why should I wait? If I wait and walk away and say, okay, I got your name. When I get to assistance place, I'm going to pray for you. I could forget, right? I could run into an accident. I could have something traumatic to happen. I didn't forget to pray for you. But if I pray for you right now, guess what I didn't do? I didn't forget. And not only that, I lift up the name of Jesus. For the Lord said that if you are ashamed to own me before man, He said, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father. So guess what? I'm not ashamed. So anytime a person asks me for prayer, I tell them right then and there, let's pray now.
How about that? That's a great idea. Yeah. I'm going to have to take that to heart because I'm guilty of saying, oh, I'll pray for you, and I don't. Yeah, so good advice from Pastor Harris.
Oh, thank you
very much. Where does the food come from for the blessing table?
The food comes from various grocery stores and comes from Walmart, comes from Tony's, Marchione's, it comes from Amazon, Jewel's. You name it, Kroger, which is Food for Less. I mean, we go all over. We go from the north suburbs to the south suburbs, west suburbs, you name it. We have our own truck, so we go all over, and we pick up tons of food. And then that we can't pick up, we buy. We put together money so that at least every week we spend probably out of pocket somewhere between $1,600 to $2,000.
Wow.
Yes.
You probably need some folks to come alongside you.
Yes.
And help out your ministry, the Blessing Table.
Yes.
How can folks do that?
You can go online. It's Second Baptist Church. You can go online. We're the oldest church in Joliet. We're celebrating 145 years. We started back in 1880.
You've been there every year.
Yes. Yeah, we're celebrating now 145 years. And all you have to do is go online, Second Baptist Church in Joliet. And when you go to our page, there's a way that you can always donate.
I went on the website, and you serve Jesus.
Yes.
And you preach Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, and Jesus would want us to do this.
That's right.
Get involved in this,
don't you think? That's right.
You know, He used His power to feed 5,000.
5,000 men plus women plus children. So He actually fed somewhere between 15 to 20,000 people with two fish and five barley loaves of bread. And for those that don't know what a barley loaf is, it's a hot dog bun. That's why it said it was just a little lad's lunch. That was just his lunch.
Yeah.
And when Jesus took it, He told His disciples to have them sit down in groups of 50. And disciples didn't even know what He was going to do. And after He prayed and talked to the Father, He said, okay, now take it and serve it. And the funny thing about it, they were able to eat until they were all filled. And that's the part that I love so much. It wasn't that when He told them to serve that everybody got a crumb. No, they were able to eat until they were full. Matter of fact, once they got through, they took up 12 baskets full of leftovers from two fish and five barley loaves of bread. Can you imagine what the God we serve can do today? Matter of fact, in Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. All we got to do is trust him and believe.
And at the blessing table,
yes,
you're seeing a miracle every week.
Yes, I am. Yes,
isn't that something?
You know something, and that is the true blessing. That's the true essence of what God is. Because, you know, before I start serving food, the first thing I do is I pray for everyone. I pray for our volunteers and everything. And then from that point on, I mean, and if you look, you'd be like, wow, look at all the cars. Are you going to have enough food for all those cars? Well, I may not, but God do. And I'm trusting God. And in trusting God, guess what? Everybody leave there, they got enough food.
Wow. We serve a great, mighty God.
Don't we?
He created the universe. He can do this, right? You know, you talk a lot about prayer.
And yes, sir.
I'll just explain how we met. I was at a Veterans Day ceremony, so were you, and you were, as a chaplain there at for the Bolingbrook Police Department, asked to pray during this Bolingbrook Veterans Day ceremony. You prayed actually twice.
Yes.
And both times, you closed in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Why is that important to you?
Well, it's important to me because he hung, bled, and died on a cross on Calvary for my sins. I mean, he didn't have to. He bore no sin. He committed no sin, but he gave his life for sinful creatures such as us. He loved us so until it is important that I let people know that it's because of what he did we have the right to be here. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? You know, before Jesus gave his life, we had to always bring in a sacrificial lamb, a sacrificial goat, a sheep. But look, we don't have to do that for our sins anymore. That's why the Bible says if it wasn't for the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. Meaning that if Jesus hadn't shed his blood, then our sins wouldn't be forgiven. But because of what he did, our sins are forgiven.
I imagine there might be people when you pray at various events would say, well, could you just kind of give an ecumenical prayer? Avoid talking about Jesus.
I explain to anybody that tell me to do that, that you got the wrong person. You need to call someone else. Because if I pray, I'm going to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I know what he did for me. Okay? My life is a living testimony from the day I came into this world.
Well, I'm sure glad you're here. I think a lot of other people in this world, in the Chicago area,
yes,
in particular, are sure glad that you're here and that God has used you for all these years, and he's still using you. You've got a couple other
irons in the fire.
Irons in the fire. We're going to talk about that right after this.
Okay.
This is Seth Leibson for townhall.com. The purpose of statesmanship and governance is to pacify and keep as much peace in the world as possible. With this in mind, the Biden administration's efforts last week encouraging more wartime action from Ukraine are downright insane. When an administration becomes lame duck, the rational position is to ease transition into the new administration, which would include its foreign policy, worldview, and actions. It's clear to everyone that the incoming Trump administration has no interest in prolonging the war between Ukraine and Russia, but rather creating a ceasefire base somewhere along the lines of where the parties are now. Agree or disagree, this is where everything was headed. It is thus the height of irresponsibility for the Biden administration to make the incoming administration's job more difficult and the war between Russia and Ukraine more deadly. Lame duck administrations have responsibilities. Let me state what's obvious for all who are watching closely. Increasing the war and increasing Putin's chances of using nuclear weapons is the height of insanity and irresponsibility. I'm Seth Leibson.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, along with the Right Reverend Elmer Harris. He's the pastor emeritus at Second Baptist Church in Joliet. When are services held there at Second Baptist?
Our services is on Sunday. Sunday, we normally arrive at church at 8 o'clock because we have what they call real men praying at 8 o'clock. Then after that, at 9 o'clock, we have our Sunday school classes. And then at 10:30, we start the actual service for the church. And we just have a good time. And service go normally from 10:30 to figure about 12 o'clock. And, you know,
welcome visitors.
Right. And we welcome visitors from everywhere.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's just so wonderful to see God's handiwork, because it's amazing that when you see churches closing their doors, we're still here. Yeah. After 145 years.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
8 o'clock, real men pray.
Yes, sir.
How do you get them out for that?
We have men that are committed, and I just happen to be one of those committed men. I mean, I have so much to be thankful for. I have to be thankful for God blessing me to meet you, Monty. I mean, truly, that was a blessing, a wonderful encounter when we came together. I mean, it was not something we planned. It was not planned purposely, but it was God orchestrated. And, you know, and the funny thing, when God do something, he don't do it halfway. And so it was a blessing to meet you on that Veterans Day. And so
I was blessed as well.
You know, all of those things we have to be thankful for. We pray for those that are sick and going through. You know, we talk to God about everything. And that's what makes it so wonderful. We pray for our families. We pray for each other. We pray for the communities. All of that because, believe it or not, even though this country don't believe in prayer, only time they want you to pray is when something catastrophic happens. Then the first thing they do, they call people like me and say, well, you pray for us. But other than that, they don't want to hear it. Well, we pray every day.
Thank goodness you are. You're also part of a ministry called Citizens Against Abuse.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Citizens Against Abuse actually started back in 1998. I've been the chair of this organization now 8 years. Under my leadership, we take on a lot of various topics. Last year, when I went to training, part of ICPC, which is International Conference of Police Chaplains, I went to training and they trained us on human trafficking. Why? Because, number one, it's a $10 billion business in the United States.
It's a business.
It's a $100 billion business globally.
Wow.
These people are professional. They can snatch a person in 30 seconds. Now, you know, before you heard about drug trafficking, you heard of gun trafficking. But sex trafficking is bigger than both of those because you can sell a person a gun one time. You can sell a person some drugs one time. But you could take that little boy, that little girl, and you could sell them 10 to 20 times a day. So look at the revenue.
It's driven by money.
Yes, it's totally driven by money. And some of its biggest point times are like the Super Bowl, the World Series. Anything that draws a cadre of people together, that's when they make their biggest amount of bucks. In every community, there's sex trafficking. If there's a truck stop in that community, guess what? There's sex trafficking in that community.
Wow. And through this migration situation.
Yes.
We're hearing about over 300,000 missing children. What's going on?
Those 300,000 missing children could have been in a container in some other country right now. And we'll never see them again. And the sad part about it is the powers that be don't seem to care because, again, you're talking $10 billion here and $100 billion business globally. If you got enough money, you can change laws. If you got enough money, you can move mountains almost. And I feel like this right here, we need to stop this. We need to stop it from the core. And the only way to stop it is to do something to re-educate everyone about sex trafficking, about human trafficking. Because the funny thing about it, it may not be happening to you today, but no telling what may be happening to you tomorrow. Or it could be happening to your child tomorrow. Your child could disappear. And if that child disappears, you may never see him again. I've had a person, and I was explaining to him about Citizens Against Abuse, and we were taking on human trafficking. And the first thing that came out of the man's mouth was, wow, why would you do something like that? Don't you think somebody would kill you? And I told him, I said, well, but guess what? I don't mind dying. Because, see, a man is either going to die for something or he's going to die for nothing. If I'm going to die, I want to die for something. I want to die saving people versus die watching people being hurt.
I don't think a lot of people understand the gravity of the problem.
Yes.
And just how big it is. It's being driven by money. And you're saying that politicians, government officials, whoever, are essentially looking the other way.
They are. And so since it's driven by money,
are
guess
getting
what?
Are paid off?
Well, yeah. But they'll never tell you that, but yeah. Look, it's something like this. If we really wanted to stop it in this country, oh, we could. We don't want to. And since we don't want to, we take a blind eye to it. And then now what they're trying to do, because now we're starting to make people more aware of it, so that what they're doing is they're trying to catch small fish. They catch these small fish like P. Diddy and all of them and say, okay, we caught him, he's sex trafficking. We caught him, he's human trafficking. Anyway. So they throw out all of these little fish. Why? Because that takes your eyes off of what? The big picture. And as long as I can keep your eyes off the big picture, we can keep on doing what we do. I mean, I tell parents that when they're in big box stores, make sure you keep your children with you. Do not let your children wander off. Big box stores are huge. It's 64,000 square feet. Some of them are 100,000 square feet. Guess what? You're over here. Your child is over there. The sex trafficker or the human trafficker is watching them. And the minute you turn your back, in 30 seconds, your child is gone. Now you're at the customer service crying, where's my child? Well, guess what? Your child is gone. Why? Because you didn't care to keep that child with you. It is very important in today's time to make sure wherever you go that you keep your child with you. Because if you don't, someone in that place is watching you and watching your child. And if you give them just 30 seconds, your child could be in a container heading to another country.
Pastor, when we met, you told me a story about how some of these sex traffickers
yes.
work. A mom and a teenage daughter will be in a shopping mall.
Yes.
And the mom will go one area, the teenage daughter will go to another area, and these people are watching for that.
Yes.
Tell me.
Okay. Normally what happens is, first of all, they're paying attention. They're paying attention. From the minute you walk into that store, somebody's already scoping you. So, okay, they split and they go. Now, the human trafficker, they send a young lady, just like the young lady that's going away. And the first thing when she walks up to the young girl, first thing she says is, wow, you are so beautiful. Have you ever thought about being a model? So the person says, well, come go with me. We got a photo shoot right now. Let's do some headshots. Won't cost you anything. So she goes and they do these headshots and everything. And then she's looking at it and it's, hey, you know, we're having this whole big thing where we're going to do a whole photo book, you know, a whole album for you. And automatically the daughter is gullible. Well, as she goes, they slip her something in, maybe some water or a pop or something. As she's drinking it, she blanks out. Well, when she wakes up, she's in a container. She's on her way to another country. Because, see, this is how professional they are.
Terrible, just terrible. Do you have hope that the Trump administration, with their crackdown on illegal immigration, will make a dent on sex trafficking?
I don't foresee them doing anything, as I didn't see any other administration doing anything. And that's the way human trafficking ends. Enough is never enough. I mean, when it first started back in the 70s, in the 60s actually, when it started back in the 60s, it was a little trickle down. In the 70s, guess what? It became catastrophic. It went into the millions. Well, in the 80s, it just progressed and progressed. The 90s got real progressive. In 2000, it became a billion-dollar industry. And it has since grown even larger than that. And it's not stopped growing. It is constantly growing. And again, every time somebody cry a little bit, they throw a little token out there. And people then calm down and say, okay, well, they're doing something about it. No, they're not. What they're doing is they're appeasing you so they can keep on doing what they're doing.
That leads me to ask this question. What could we do individually to do something
for at least one person? First of all, what we got to do is be mindful. We need to watch as well as pray. And when I say watch, we really need to be watching what's going on around us. We've gotten to the point where we're so comfortable until we don't pay attention, but we need to. We need to be watching even for other children. So we need to be watchful. And when we see things that are not right, we need to do something.
What should citizens, what should voters say to their lawmakers and public officials about this?
Well,
What actions do we want them to take?
Well, we're tired. We don't want no more bones. We want solutions. And the only way we're going to get solutions is that we are going to have to band together. We are going to have to do this for us. It's going to take hundreds of thousands of us to say enough is enough and we ain't going to take it no more. And then when we start, when we stand, guess what? It's still another 100,000 that says, no, we're not going to accept it. We're not going to have it. When it's enough of us that continue to stand and continue to push, then and only then will we see a change. So we need to stand up hundreds of thousands strong and say we're not going to have it anymore. And then when we do that, when we, not the politicians, not the president, not the Supreme Court, but when we do that, then there will be a change. But until we do anything, there's not going to be a change.
Well, Citizens Against Abuse is helping to organize that
yes,
rebellion.
Sir.
I'm sure folks would like more information, and maybe they'd like to get involved. tell us what they can do.
You can go to our webpage, which is citizensagainstabuse.org. If you have any questions, you can even email us at info@citizensagainstabuse.org. We would be more than happy to educate you in any way possible. Matter of fact, starting in January, every month in January, we're going to be hosting something about human and sex trafficking. Why? Because we know that it's going to take all of that and then some to get the communities, not a community, but the communities involved. And once we get them all involved to say we're tired and we're not going to accept it anymore, then we'll start, hopefully, to see some type of change.
Well, we got a couple of websites. Blessing Table.
Yes.
Give me that again.
The Blessing Table, all you got to do is go to secondbaptistchurch.att. And when you go to the Second Baptist Church website, you automatically pull up the Blessing Table. Not only will you see the Blessing Table, but you'd also see our Gems ministry as well as our Sons of Thunder. So, you can go to that one, and, I mean, you'll be amazed of what's going on and what we're doing there. With Citizens Against Abuse, you go to citizensagainstabuse.org. Remember, it's citizensagainstabuse.org, and you'll be able to see the things that we're doing. If you want to email us, you can email us at info@citizensagainstabuse.org, or you can even call me, Reverend Harris, at area code 708-347-6118. Again, that number is area code 708-347-6118.
Pastor Elmer Harris,
yes, sir.
Chaplain with the Bolingbrook Police Department. Could you pray for our state, our nation
sure
right now,
yes,
as we close out?
Yes. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we come to lift up your holy name. Father, we come to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for just being God and God all by yourself. Father, we are looking at the state of our city, our states that we live in, the state of Illinois. We pray for our governor. We pray for all of our elected officials. Oh, Father, we pray for our police departments. We pray for our police chiefs. We pray for our deputy chiefs. Father, we pray for our mayors of all of these various cities that makes up this great state of Illinois. Oh, Father, that you would use us to your glory, that we would be mindful one to another, Father, that we would look forward to going forward to be an assistant to help and not to hinder. Oh, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, oh, Father, that you would continue to have your way, Lord. Use us to your glory. Oh, Father, that we can go forth to be your ambassadors to tell somebody about the good news about Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that you would continue to use us to your glory. Oh, Father, continue to just flourish their ministry. Allow it to grow by leaps and bounds, Father. I pray, Father, for our Blessing Table, that you will continue to bless us, Father, that we can continue to grow to feed this vast community. I pray for Citizens Against Abuse. Oh, Father, that you will continue to use all of us to your glory. Oh, Father, I pray for my chaplain corps, all of my chaplains that come boldly to serve, to do your will. Father, we ask all of these things. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for being with us. We have to have you back. And thank you, folks, for tuning in. Please remember that we have a big event coming up March 8th. Put it on your calendar, our Marriage and Family Worldview Conference at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. We have a couple of great speakers. Go online at IllinoisFamily.org, click events, and it'll give you all the details about that special event coming up March 8th. Do tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.